In our latest installment of Q's Parting Shots, we talk about the wonderful career of Scott & White employees, credit union CEO Gary Yonacek. So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CEO Broadcast. Welcome to our show and our today's program. We have a Parting Shots with Gary Yonacek from Scott & White employees, credit union. Gary, how are you?
Oh, doing great, Mike. Good to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk to you as well. Hey, congratulations on an amazing career. You've done so much for this industry, and as so many great leaders do in this industry. And how does it feel? I mean, we were just talking about your retirement date before the recording, April 1st. What an appropriate date to retire. I think it's really funny. But I mean, how does it feel to kind of exhale now? It's like, you know, now you can move on to the next chapter of your life. How does it feel?
It's awesome. You know, being married to a company for almost 40 years, 24/7. I don't care what day of the week it is. There's always something that has to be done.
Oh, no doubt.
Commitments for weekend, credit union related, whatever. So it's such a relief. It's going to take a while for me to decompress after being going 120 miles an hour for so long. 10, 12, 14 hour days. I'm really looking forward to just stepping back and relaxing and enjoying my family. Yeah. You have sacrificed so much for me to be able to do this over the last 30, 40 years. So it's been wonderful. The last 6 weeks have been really precious.
Well, it sounds like you're going to give back now. It's now you're going to give back to your family, the time and all that type of stuff, which is, it's never a bad thing because family is awesome. And so it sounds like that's what you're going to be focused on here.
That's for sure. You know, they sacrifice so much for any individual who is in an executive type position. Yep. My son, for instance, he's 35 years old. I've only been with him 6 times on his actual birthday.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it usually falls during the Governmental Affairs Conference in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. His birthday is February the 26th. Oh. So I'm usually in Washington at the Governmental Affairs Conference. And so they paid dearly, you know, for the sacrifices, and they sacrificed so much for us to be able to do what we do.
Indeed. Indeed. But the bigger picture is that you're helping out so many other people as well, you know, get on their feet financially. And, you know, there's such a great message here. So it's totally understandable here. So, I mean, I want to dive into this a little bit. What is the difference between the you when you started in this business to the you who you are now? Is there a difference? I mean,
Day and night. you know, 40 years ago, 39 years ago, when I became the CEO at the age of 26.
Wow.
Credit unions, you know, very simple. We paid 6% dividends, charged 12%, 1% on the unpaid balance. We had nowhere near the type of regulatory issues in dealing with compliance. Mm-hmm. And so we were more engaged with our membership on a day-to-day basis than we are today. And over time, that has, I guess, been the biggest disappointment from the standpoint of being a CEO. Mm-hmm. Is that you don't have that routine, normal contact with your member.
Right.
That is the most important thing. They're the true assets of the company. So having that relationship with them and being able to communicate and see them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Is certainly something that you really miss.
Yeah, I mean, so many credit unions really echo that sentiment. It's like the whole regulation overload. I mean, it's really taken away the sweet thing that credit unions do is the member relationships, and it's really unfortunate. So I hear that time and time again, not, you know, from retiring CEOs, but from people that are working in that right now at any level. So it's really kind of like, let's, you know, get this fixed so we can get back to do what we do best, which is member relationships.
Yes. Well, the amount of time that I spent just on policy, compliance, regulatory issues, mm-hmm. Take up about 70% of my time.
Good grief.
And in a smaller credit union, as we are, it even becomes more cumbersome for the credit unions to stay in compliance. And so the cost is enormous, irregardless of what size you are.
Right.
And I'm not so sure that, you know, that what has concerned me the most out of all this is that we have seen such a significant consolidation of credit unions in just the last 5 years, mm-hmm. because of the overburdensome regulatory yeah. compliance issues. Some of them just got to the point they couldn't do it anymore. It's not a one size fit all, I guess, from the standpoint industry. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of room for regulatory reform, things that can help. Once credit unions are gone, they're gone.
Yep.
And in our society today, and in demographics in various different states, there are a lot of members who do not want to do business with a large retail bank or credit union right. operation. They like to come into an office where they have known people for a long time. They like to see the same faces. Certainly, automation of technology, our products and services has helped reach out to our membership, mm-hmm. but yet there's a component of our membership base throughout the country that really wants to see a face. They want to talk to Joe. Mm-hmm. They only want to talk to Joe when they come into the credit union, because Joe is the credit union to them. And so it's a very concerning that we have lost so many credit unions. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that we can work together with Congress to get some much needed reform, especially from the standpoint of regulatory reform, that will help us so that we can continue to serve our members rather than just, you know, say, hey, well, this credit union has no viability. When it does, membership support it. And for it to be merged away is not the solution to a short-term problem.
Well said, well said. Let's get back to your position. Now, if you had to write a brief description for your job and like in a help wanted ad, what skills and experience would you need for it as kind of a message for incoming credit union leaders?
Well, certainly you have to be a people person. You have to be able to manage people. You have to, I think, from the standpoint, be very visible, not only with your member, but within the community, mm-hmm. And be engaged in the community. And there are so many factions that and requirements that you have to fill. You have to fill and provide a role as a leadership in developing a culture that fits your membership. Mm-hmm. And once you have that culture established, every CEO has a different management style.
Right.
The company, the credit union itself, has a certain culture based upon, irregardless of how old it is, there's a certain culture that was developed early on, regardless if it was healthcare, educational related, industrial background. There's a certain cultural there, even though they may have become a community charter. Yeah. The people who originally brought the credit union to where it is are those that you always have to stay focused on. Mm-hmm. So being able to develop a culture of service, providing, building trust and integrity with the membership. And just be a very good listener, and being able to communicate well, not only with employees and members, with your board of directors. Oh. Board of directors, there must be total transparency in everything that goes on. There can't be any surprises. And so I certainly wouldn't have been able to stay in a CEO's position for almost 40 years without making sure that everything was totally transparent.
Yeah.
So the level of communication that you have, the skill and the, I think from the standpoint, is the actual demeanor that you set and examples that you set, mm-hmm. for your staff, with your board of directors, the membership picks up on that. And as long as they can walk in and they see happy faces and they see caring and compassionate concern for their well-being, that builds the trust and integrity of the operation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you took the words right out of my mouth. That whole transparency builds that trust big time, big time. And speaking of surprises, has anything surprised you about your job? Anything surprised you over the years other than the whole compliance and regulatory stuff?
You know, it's just the ability to affect change. Change irregardless of the environment that we're in today or 40 years ago. One thing is consistent is change. Mm-hmm. And rather than being able to adapt to change, you need to be really ahead of the game and affect change.
Right.
And have everyone on board from the standpoint understanding that just about the time you get comfortable doing one thing, something's going to change somewhere else. Yeah. So it's an evolution in an ever-changing environment. Yeah. And I think, you know, for the most part, that's good. That keeps us on our toes competitively, you know, monitoring the marketplace, making sure that irregardless of what size your credit union is, that you can compete with the billion-dollar conglomerates, any size of company that is in your area, in mm-hmm. your market. We compete with over 500 different financial intermediaries within our membership base. And so, therefore, irregardless if you're in a small locale mm-hmm. or a very large locale, in today's environment, the competition is very strong, and it's something that you can't take lightly.
Yeah.
So managing change, affecting change, and building a culture that embraces change so that your staff is ready and equipped to make sure that they can adapt or, like I say, affect the changes as they come about so that all at the end of the day, it's in the best interest of the members and you can more efficiently run the operations of the credit union.
Yeah, I can't imagine being a credit union CEO or anybody in a credit union for that matter, trying to keep up with the technology changes that are happening today. I mean, it's just happening so fast. So it's just mind-boggling. Your head must be just spinning at all the things that are coming up on the horizon that, like, we could try that, or we could try that, or just how you keep that in line is, wow, it's quite a juggling act.
I think one of the critical things is your vendor relationships, your yeah. strategic partnerships, yep. alliances. If you're dealing and have maintained a long-term relationship with a strategic partner who has the capability of bringing those new technologies forward without you having to go piecemeal, you know, get something from here, here, mm-hmm. here. We've always tried to work within our core vendors to provide those efficiencies. And over time, we've been able to reduce staff by almost half.
Wow.
And pick up you know, higher levels of efficiency in serving our members without distractions, disruptions mm-hmm. With our daily operations. So core vendor relationships is very, very critical in this day and time.
Yep. Indeed. Hey, switching gears here a little bit here. What are you going to miss most about your job? Any highlights over the years that are anything like that?
Or? All the people. You know, it's well, I have a tenured staff. Some of the folks have been with me for 30 years or more.
Wow.
So we're a family. And I have two directors who are on the board still the day I was hired. And so, you know, like I say, it's the family. It is the dedication and commitment of the board of directors that I have had the pleasure of working with over the years, a core and dedicated staff who have taken care of daily operations when I've had opportunities to serve the credit union movement in various different capacities. Mm-hmm. So, and then the members, you know. They're really what it's all about. They're the ones who we work for. And with some of those relationships back in 1971 when I first started in this movement, I still see people all over town that, you know, Gary, how you doing? You know, I mean, first name basis. You know, we grew up together. We raised our kids together. And it's just one big family. And that's what I miss
that's
most
cool.
of the people.
That's pretty cool. Well, the continuity says a lot for your organization as well. When you've worked with people that long, I mean, there's something to be said about that as well.
I think that in any business, core values and consistency, mm-hmm. The continuity and development of people is one of the, you were talking about earlier, as far as the key aspect of a CEO's job, yeah. and that is yeah. to take individuals and make them be the best that they can be, or help them, give them the resources mm-hmm. to be the best that they can be. Mm-hmm. And in a situation where that they feel good about what they're doing and they can grow with the company, that you have confidence and instill that confidence in them as time and when it gets time for them to step up and take a larger role in the company, rather than having new people just flowing through you all the time, in and out. Yeah. That is so costly. Mm-hmm. Investing your time in developing the talent that you have and bringing out the best and every individual that you have in your company. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is suited for specific types of jobs, so it takes a while to understand what they do best. Right. And to put them in something that is not in their best role kind of defeats the purpose, and at some point in time, it's going to cause them to leave.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think you have to keep all those things in perspective and utilize their talents, their skill sets, and put them in a situation where they can best serve the company.
Mm-hmm. Well, that segues perfectly into my next question, because I'm gonna flip the coin on you here. How important have mentors been to you in your career?
I can tell you, I probably wouldn't be here, wouldn't have made it as a CEO of a company starting at age 26 without having significant mentors who helped me. My very first credit union job was Temple Area Federal Credit Union, was the name of the credit union at the time. It's uh-huh. Texaco now. And there was a gentleman there by the name of Nolan Hertel, who was the treasurer of the credit union. And he came in every day. He worked at the VA hospital. Mm-hmm. I was an administrator at the hospital. And he came in every day, 2 to 3 hours a day, and volunteered his time and work for the benefit of the credit union. Wow. He actually started the credit union in a cigar box in his office at the VA hospital. And I guess through that type of dedication, care, and compassion for people taught me a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I had other CEOs in the local area who, they challenged me, they pushed me. It's just a situation where those relationships are invaluable.
No doubt.
Anytime you needed help or had a question, there were two or three people ready to help you. They would come over to your office and help you if you needed it. Mm-hmm. And so that was the atmosphere that I grew up in, is the willingness of everyone wanting to make sure that you were successful. Mm-hmm. And your credit union was successful. And I don't think we see that anymore in today's yeah. environment. It's so much more competitive among credit unions. And so that environment, I think, has changed considerably. But mentors, without certain key individuals, I would never have been able to do what I've been able to do throughout my career.
That's awesome. Yeah, because there's so many people out there that want to help out, too. I mean, there's people in your position that want to help out leaders coming up, and I mean, it's just all you got to do is ask. and 9 times out of 10, they're going to help you out. So it's a really cool, really cool thing. I want to wrap up here because I'm sure you got a busy day ahead of you. What's the status? What's the status of the industry today, and from your perspective, and where would you like to see it go?
Well, it's definitely. I think we're serving more members. Total assets are highest that they've ever yeah. been. I think the need for credit unions is more needed today than ever. Mm-hmm. Viability of credit unions and what we are and what we do for people. I think if we can garner some regulatory relief to allow credit unions to really truly serve their members without having all this bureaucracy yeah. pushed down on us, that we can really sustain the credit union movement for years to come. my concern is that the push to consolidate the movement and, you know, have just a handful of credit unions with all these assets, I don't think is really what we need to. We need to preserve the integrity of the existing credit unions we have. It's very, very difficult to be able to charter a credit union in today's environment.
I can imagine.
And so therefore, once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah.
And so we have a bright future. I think collectively working together harmoniously, and that's been the biggest challenge. We've had our political differences over the years, and so it's time that credit unions really sit down. And I think on the national level, a lot of that is being done. Just identify strategically where we need to go. Mm-hmm. And I guess from the standpoint of being able to get the positive legislation that we need, not only in Congress, but in the state houses as well. Maintaining the dual charter is so, so critical in my mind.
Yeah.
Our credit union is state chartered, and I know that there's some states where there's no state charters anymore. Mm. So maintaining the dual charter of the credit union industry gives credit unions flexibility.
Oh, totally.
You know, and so that is a critical component.
Okay.
But I see us as probably more positive today, strong within our membership base, and I think we have a lot more room to grow, even though we have not really captured, much more than what we've normally had as far as the growth within the financial industry.
Yeah.
But I think we've come a long way. And as long as we can sustain and maintain the efficiencies of operations, use technology, have access to all the new services and products that are available, mm-hmm. That will fit into whatever the needs of the memberships are, and maintain a positive regulatory environment, I see great things for credit unions moving forward.
I agree. Great message to end on. Gary, thank you so much for taking time out of your day-to-day to chat with us about this. I mean, the insight that you have is invaluable, not only to, you know, upcoming leaders, but even the current leaders today. So thank you so much for that. And what you guys have done at your credit union, the continuity and the growth and the family atmosphere you guys have created there and maintained there for so many years is, you know, a testament to any other credit union out there. So thank you so much for that. And I hope you stay involved in the industry some way, somehow, because your mind is definitely needed.
I appreciate the opportunity, Mike. Thank you so much. I stand ready. I'm not committing to anything, but if called, I'll be ready to go.
Excellent. Thank you again, Gary. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.